What do you think Howard Schmidt's legacy will be?
I don't think there will be a legacy. I think he will have come and he will have done a great job in certain areas and not so good a job in other areas, and others will come in after him. I think we think too hard about our legacies. What we get done while we're there is what matters.
What do you think, if you were going to grade his tenure, how would you do so?
I give Howard an A and a B and an F in the three things that I think matter most. So the A comes easily. From the time he came till now, the level of understanding of the problem of cybersecurity has skyrocketed, and he can take some credit for that. Clearly, the bad guys can take a lot of credit for that too, but he can. The president's been up on it. Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, has been very active in it. There's visibility. The Senate and the House have multiple bills. The public is aware. He gets an A for getting the problem identified. He gets a B, actually, for focusing his office, because it's an easy office to spread in 1,000 different directions. And he picked three priorities. He picked trusted internet connections, and he picked strong authentication, identity management, and continuous monitoring. And he put his time and his resources into those. It's very hard not to say yes to everyone. He was very good at saying, we're going to focus on these. We're not going to say yes to everybody who wants to do anything. And I think he should get really high grades for that.
And you give him an F in what?
Oh, in the most important one. If you read all the drafts of the National Strategy to Secure Cyberspace, the single most important thing it talks about is reducing the vulnerabilities of computers, both federal government and others. And you have to say on his watch, they didn't go down. And the F comes not because he didn't do a little bit, but because he missed the biggest opportunity to do it. And I like the F because it's the finance side. And it's why I feel good that Mike's the one who's coming on to take the job, because it's the area he has the best chance to excel in. Howard didn't use the federal procurement capability and the budget and the office. He didn't get OMB behind him to use budget to force agencies to buy together, to buy more secure systems. He just didn't take advantage of the most powerful lever he had.
That was actually where I wanted to go next, what's the significance that it's somebody like Mike Daniel who's coming from OMB into that role?
It's great, because we are at that point where, in fact, Howard said this a bunch of times, you've got to stop admiring the problem. Everybody knows what the problem is. Now we have to focus on the solutions. And it turns out the solutions almost all are down the procurement path. You can't argue people into doing better security. You can't educate people into doing better security. They basically have to put in the technology that is defensible. And the only way you do that is with procurement. So I think he's the perfect man at this moment to take on the role.
I will say, it seemed to me when he came in, to play off one comment that you just made, there was a time not too long ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, where people thought that you could educate your way out of this problem. So if we've come to a point during his tenure that people are mostly on board with that idea, I would count that as a success, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. And in fact, it's another area that he did a really good job. The Australians figured out that there is a way to stop these targeted intrusions, and it isn't educating people, because the targeted intrusions are done by people with enough money that they will get around any educated user. There are actually four specific defenses that the Australians have figured out. And Howard was a leader in letting people know about those. But as I said, he didn't take that next step of using procurement to make sure that no federal contractor delivered any information systems that didn't implement those controls.
There was one criticism of him that he was not out and about enough promoting this and that and the other thing. Is that fair, or is that just PR stuff that somebody was looking for a reason to pick on him for?
The only time I ever met with him and the president, I said something nice about Howard to the president. The president said, yeah, it's pretty, I don't remember his exact words, but it's pretty amazing what he's been able to do with both hands, now that I've tied both his hands behind his back. The president knew exactly that he had kept Howard off the circuit. Now, it doesn't mean he didn't give some speeches, but a lot of the meetings and communications he would have liked to have done, he was not able to do. And it wasn't the president alone. It was the whole National Economic Council and others who just didn't think that was an appropriate role for the White House. I don't know what right and wrong is, but they decided not to let him go out and do a lot of talking.
And so that criticism may be unfair because it wasn't his idea to do it that way in the first place.
It was definitely not his idea. Definitely not his idea to do it that way.
Yeah. The structure of where we stand now, we'll see now Mike Daniel working in conjunction with General Alexander, civilian and DOD, civilian and military cyber control. Any thoughts about what that dynamic may be like, how it may be different than the Schmidt-Alexander dynamic?
I think Mike will be a stronger advocate for alternative positions than Howard was. I think General Alexander has enormous assets, and the reputation that he has just dwarfs everyone else. I think Mike can help balance that, but it's not going to be needed. What I've seen in the last since December is a complete positive, I don't mean everything's positive, but a complete shifting of this fight between DHS and NSA into a powerful cooperation where DHS is doing some really cool leadership things, NSA and the Cyber Command are doing some really cool leadership things, and that's thanks to, I think, Jane Lute on the DHS side and General Alexander and his team on the NSA side. It's very impressive. And there are a lot of people who love the drama of the fight, and you can always find reasons to fight, but I'm really impressed with what the Deputy Secretary of DHS and Jane Lute and the Director of NSA have done in a cooperative fashion. It's not public. I mean, they aren't out hugging and saying, we're all together, because they're smarter than that. This isn't a talking about it. This is leading by doing, and they really are.